Oh Father, oh Ramandaramashi Taramandarabasaya, Ondalamandalyala Voloshi Taramandarabasai, Oh Lamandalamasaya, Ilabandalyala Voloshi Taramandariandarabushandarabusai, Oh Lamandalyala Voloshandalavalyandavalosai, Oh Ramandaramandarabushitai. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus. Lord, we love you tonight. We know that it's not by power or might, but by your wonderful Spirit, God. We thank you tonight because thou art able, O God. Lord, thou art able. And Father, in thee we can do all things, and without thee we can do nothing. As Jesus said, Father, do nothing of ourselves. But always that which we see the Father do, we can do. I ask you to be with us tonight. Help us, beloved Father. Help us in the lovely name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Forgive us for every sin. Don't let us do anything wrong, but let us be found in your will. I ask it in the darling, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If you've got your Bibles, we'll read a little bit from the Scripture. I was going to kind of back off tonight and not preach because I knew I had to preach tomorrow night. I was just going to kind of... But you can't do that, can you? You can't do that. You just have to do whatever he says to do. Okay, over in the book of Jeremiah in the 28th chapter. I want to read some in the 28th chapter and some in the 29th chapter. Brother Bill and Jim isn't here tonight. They was coming to church, but right at the last minute, and Brother Donald's isn't here. Right at the last minute, we got an opportunity that seems to be a great opportunity. I don't know whether it is or not. We might have wished we'd left it alone, but it was worth a try anyway. My wife, she kind of kids me a little bit, you know. But I told her it's going to take a chance anyway. But some fella run across a machine, and he can't, he said it ain't no good to him, and he don't know how good it is, period. But it's a reproducer, it's a recorder. And he said that if we wanted, he'll let us have it for $250. Said if we'd come on up and get it. He said it's a $15,000 machine, and if we'd come get it, he'd let us have it. So we sent him up to pick it up. And
praise God.
Brother Donalds, he couldn't figure it out. He come back telling me about this good deal. I said, well, what kind of deal is it? He said, the man's got 7 recorders he wants to sell for $250. So I couldn't figure that out. And he said he's got a table, so he's got recorders in the drawers, got them everywhere. Then when I found out what it was, it's one machine that reproduces at least 7 at a time. Real recorders. Brother Taylor's like my wife. She had to find out if it was cassettes. Most people don't believe in bargains, and I don't either, you know, but if God's in it sometimes, he'll give you a bargain, you know. He'll take care of you. All right, Jeremiah, the 28th chapter, if you'll read with me. Brother Taylor, don't you want to read this for me? Read it for me and just kind of take your time and read until I tell you to stop, will you?
I'll tell you the reason I'm so interested, because I've got more confidence in those big reels than I do in those cassettes as far as lasting and holding up. So I'm looking forward to that. Brother George, I've really longed to see the day we'd have the large reel reproducers. Let's read from the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, in the 29th. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 4th year and in the 5th month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon, Within 2 full years will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent into Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem into Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
I was wanting him to read down to the place where he read there. Read just a little further down here. It said, Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. You know, the one thing that's outstanding here in this, and that is the Lord points out that the only way to really find him is when we seek him with all of our heart.
Amen.
Now, this is something that I run across many years ago, and that is that the only way to have fellowship with God and to really find God is to seek him with all of your heart. I purpose in my life to do this one thing. I said, now, Lord, I am convinced, after having seen other people down through the years try to get in touch with you, and I've seen them fail, from that I am convinced that the problem is that they have not sought thee with all of their heart. Because I believe that when a person fails, there is a reason. If a person fails to succeed in business, there is a reason. If people fail to succeed in marriage, there is a reason. If their homes cannot be held together, there is a reason. If a person's ministry does not succeed, there is a reason. So I said, Lord, I see all of these failures of denominational powers, and they are not obtained unto that which you promised in your word. And I said, I see all of the failures of ministers and people who profess Christianity, and they've not excelled in God. I said, there's got to be a reason. The word cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. The word cannot fail. The Lord said that my word that goeth forth, it will accomplish that I please. It will prosper in that whereunto I have sent it. It will not return unto me void. I said, then, Lord, there has to be some reason for all of this. And if I cannot find the reason, then I too will be a failure in that I try to do. So I said, Lord, what can I do? And God said to me, in the day that you seek me with your whole heart, then ye shall find me, and you shall succeed in that which I want you to do. But you must seek me with your whole heart. I said, God, that is the answer right there. That's where the problem has been. People have not sought God with their whole heart. So then I set out in my life to seek God with all of my heart. Not to add anything else, not to have anything else, not to try to divide my mind up and do anything else, but just to be exclusively Christ. That's the way I did it. Now, it has been very rewarding to me. I used to sing a lot, write songs. I gave myself to music, many other things. Whereas I do that, a lot of times in spare time, and sometimes I sing a song. You know, I do that, but I found out that if I pursued that, having the call of the ministry, that I wouldn't be giving myself entirely to God. That my heart and mind would be divided, and that would be part of the things that would cause me to miss God, so I gave it up. That was the closest thing to my heart outside of my family and God. I tried to lay aside all of my ambitions, whatever it was. It didn't make any difference. I tried to lay it aside because I wanted one thing, and that was the favor, the blessings of God. And I found out in doing that God has blessed me and has greatly rewarded me, and God has not held back from me the thing that my heart desired in the understanding of those things that I went after. Now, if a man has got a calling in singing, that's fine. If he's got a calling in music, that's fine. If he's got a calling in anything for God, that's fine. But let him give his whole heart to it, his whole life to it, and don't try to mix anything else with it, and God will greatly bless him. But in my life was the ministry. My life was to serve God. My life was to follow Jesus. Therefore, I could not mix anything with it. Now, a lot of things that you can do on the side, a lot of things you can use as fillers, but there can't be but one mainstream of your life, and that's Jesus. So then he said, when you seek me with your whole heart, then ye shall find me. Another thing that you'll notice here was he tells them that this will happen to the people after that he hath brought them forth out of Babylon. He says, when they come back from Babylon, they will seek me with their whole heart. You know, God has to let a person fall into confusion, fall into the things of the world, get out there in the desolate places, and feel cut off from God before he recognizes how wonderful the things of God really are. When he gets away from God, cut off from God, then he esteems the things of God. As long as he has everything at his fingertip, as long as he's got everything that he wants, he doesn't esteem those things of God. But you cut him off from those things and he realizes he doesn't have those things, and then he esteems those things above those things that was pulling at his heart out there, because he has an opportunity to differentiate between the two and determine the difference in that which is the greater by proper evaluation. So then it is easy to see that God said, after that you return from Babylon, after you go through your schooling, after you go through your problems, after you go through your heartaches, then when you come back, he said, then you're going to be able to worship me right. Then you're going to be concerned about God, and then you're going to know what it means to have a life of freedom and a life of happiness and a life with God. Once you go down into Babylon and you go through all the sorrows and all the heartaches, all the misuse, that the way that they're going to misuse you down there, when you're enslaved by the powers down there, then you're going to know how to serve God. And you know that is true. A person has to go through all of that before they really make a good Christian. The Bible teaches that we learn obedience by the things that we suffer. Jesus, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered. And the Bible said, therefore being made perfect, or God, he become the author of our salvation. That is, God made him perfect that he might be the author of our salvation. Not only the author, but the finisher of our salvation. So it's so wonderful tonight to know that if we seek God with all of our heart, that God will bless us and we can have the very desires of our heart. The Bible said God will feed you the thoughts of your heart, and we can have the desires of our heart. Now, notice this one thing here, how that Hananiah did not seek God with all of his heart, and how that Hananiah wanted a ministry, how that Hananiah wanted to be before the people, and how that Hananiah would not get in with the body of Christ in that day or the move of God, but wanted to do something on his own. Notice that. That's where the problem is today. People don't want to get in with the move of God. They don't want to be under leadership. They don't want to do the things that God tells them to do. They've got to do something on their own. And so Hananiah, he wanted to do something on his own. See, Jeremiah had given a prophecy. The others had said, God said that the children of Israel will be in bondage for 70 years. But see, Hananiah wanted to look good in the eyes of the people. He wanted to say something that would draw the attention of the people to him. He wasn't interested in the word of God. He wasn't interested in the things of God. He just wanted a lot of attention. And so then he said, God will do such and such. And old brother Jeremiah, he had too much fear of God to cross him up. See, Jeremiah didn't know. He knew what the Lord had told him, but he didn't know. He thought, you know, well, I'm not going to cross him up. I'm not going to say anything. But he warned Hananiah. Hananiah, you know, you need to be sure about what you're saying. The Bible said, if a prophet prophesy presumptuously, that prophet shall die. You know, you need to know what you're saying. But he wouldn't cross him up. And then when Hananiah pressed the issue, and Hananiah began to say, thus saith the Lord. Wasn't long before Jeremiah got away in the prayer closet, so to speak, and Jeremiah began to call on God, and here come the word of God. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And there came God's word, hallelujah, right out of heaven down to the prophet. And the prophet came back, and he was just bubbling with the enthusiasm of God. He came back in there and he said, Hananiah, you've lied to the people. He wasn't the same tender Jeremiah that he was before. He wasn't that same humble Jeremiah sitting there not saying anything, you know, not knowing he done got, thus saith the Lord. He went away, and when he come back, he was bold as a lion. Walked in the midst of them and said, Hananiah, thou art a liar. God didn't say what you said. And because you said it, said this very year God will require your life for it. I've got the word of the Lord, he said. Thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. And it came to pass just exactly the way Jeremiah said it. There wasn't no ifs and ands about it. He didn't have to make a big to-do about it. When he gave the word of God, he come in there and he stood steadfast. He laid the thing down to the line. He said, thus saith the Lord. Praise God. He said, now let's see. He said, when that prophet says something that God's going to do, so let's wait and see if that thing comes to pass, and then you'll know that there's been a prophet in your midst. But said, if that thing don't come to pass, then you know there's something wrong. Then you know there's something wrong. When old brother Jeremiah said it, it came to pass just exactly like he said. And I'll tell you another thing. When God spoke and when the 70 years was over, God's word came to pass when the prophecy was given for the exit. Did you know? When God said the Exodus is coming, it came just like God said. But when God said they're going down into Babylon, they went down there just like God said. Isn't that right? They went down there and God said, don't let these people bother you. Jeremiah stood up in the presence of God and the word of the Lord said there to the people, don't let this man deceive you. Don't let him get you all out of sorts. Don't let him get you in trouble. Said you make friends with the Babylonian people. You get along with them. You pray that the peace of God will be down here. That everything will be all right because you're stuck down here for 70 years. You go ahead and build you some houses and have your little children, have your little vineyards and have your homes and make the best of it. Don't get out of sorts. Just stay here and pray because you're going to stay here. No need to get your hope up. No need to make enemies thinking you're going to get out of here. You do what I tell you because you're going to be here until God says it's enough. And folks, that's just the way it is in this world. You might as well to make the best of it. You're going to be here till God says you're going to go out of here. And when God says you're going to go out of here, you're going to go out of here. You might as well to obey the magistrates. You might as well to pay your bills. You might as well to quit living like you can beat everybody around the corner and across the neighborhood and all the businessmen and everybody else because you're going to be raptured day after tomorrow. You might as well get it out of your mind that you can go out here and hook everybody and swindle and cut corners and that you're still a son or daughter of God. That you can gossip and make enemies and do everything else because you're the daughters and sons of God. You might as well get out of that. And you might as well just settle down to the fact that you've got to face the issues of life. And you've got to be an upright person. And you've got to do what's right in this life. And you're going to be stuck here and stay here till God gets through. You might as well to do that. The Bible said pray for the kings and pray for the leaders and pray for the rulers. Pray for the Pope. Pray for all of them that God will save them. Pray that God will do something for them. Pray for your people. Pray for your enemies. See, keep praying. Keep praying with the people. Keep praying that God will give peace among us. But there's one thing about it. When the time of deliverance comes, God will keep his word. God said, Jeremiah, my people will be down there for 70 years. And when the 70 years are finished, I will bring them out. He said, Abraham, thy people will be down there for 430 years. And when the cup of the Egyptians is up to the full, when it can't be filled anymore, I will raise up a deliverer and he will bring forth the people. And God raised him up right on time. God raised him up right on time. And when the 70 years was up down in Babylon, God raised up a deliverer and he came up right on time. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. God moved like he did, knowing all things. God looked down ahead and said, it'd be 70 years before that deliverer will come along. Abraham, it'll be 430 years before that great deliverer will come down there and pick up them people and get that thing moving for me. I see him over yonder, 430 years away. I see him. Glory to God, and he'll be the meekest man in all the land. And when I tell him to do something, he'll do exactly what I say. And when he comes down, it'll be thus saith the Lord, and it'll be just exactly like I say it. When God saw that over there, he saw the day when old brother Nehemiah would walk around fasting and praying, being a cupbearer there for the king, Artaxerxes. He saw him in that day when he would walk around over there, and when he would plead the cause of God, and when he would weep, and when he would say, "Oh, my father's houses are torn down, the gates of Jerusalem are destroyed, and I can't be happy." And when God would move on the heart of that old king and say, "Nehemiah, go there and do whatever you will. God be with you. God be with you. I'll furnish whatever you need. Just get it from the king's forest." See, God was looking ahead. He saw all of that, but not the way that Hananiah said it. It wouldn't be one day cut short. It wouldn't be 1 year cut short. It wouldn't be 2 years cut short. It had to be 70 years. For the prophet said, 70 years my people will be down in Babylon, and they will serve the king of Babylon. No, let me tell you something, folks. God has got a time. The Bible said that God has set a day wherein he shall judge the world. And I want you to know that God knows that day, and God will not let it go 1 minute over that day, nor 1 hour over that day. He's got that day set. And just as sure as we're in here tonight, when that day comes, God will judge the world for their iniquity. But let us serve God in the beauty of holiness. Let us do what God tells us to do. And let us go right along with God and honor God and obey God until everything is right at the right place and everything is just like God wants it. And then we'll move out as a great army and we won't be deceived. You know, in the Old Testament, one thing they learned to do, and that's not to try to go out to battle unless God said go out to battle. One thing that Joshua and the others prayed, said, "Oh God, don't send me up to battle unless your presence go before me." Because they had seen again and again when some of them would get ambitious, and some of the great fighters and some of the courageous men, they'd step out there and say, "Bless God, I can do the job. Come on, follow me. I'm a great warrior. I can do the job." And some of the bravest would go behind them, but God would just literally let them be slaughtered. And then they saw the time when others that was meek and humble, the men of God, stepped out there and said, "Thus saith the Lord, the battle is the Lord's. Follow me," and walk out there and not a man be lost, and every one of them come back alive and take the entire country. See, if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? If your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. That's why it is necessary to seek God. If you are in business, seek God. If you want God to bless you, if you want successfulness, seek God. If you are a minister, seek God. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to learn everything you can learn. You're just wrecking yourself. But seek God. It's not by power, might. It's not by a lot of learning. It's not by a lot of understanding. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, I believe in studying. The Bible said, "Study to show yourself approved, the workman unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth." I believe in that. I believe you ought to study. I believe the man of God ought to give himself to study. But I believe we get beside ourselves, and what we do, we forget about the Spirit of God. We get into those things and forget about the Spirit of God. I've been careful down in my lifetime to remember one thing. I don't care what I studied. I don't care what I went after. I had one motive behind it, and that was to find out what God's Spirit said about it, what the interest of God was in it, how that it could glorify God, and how that God's Spirit could move in my life with that thing. Because that's the way it's going to be. If you're going to live an overcoming life, you're going to do it by the Spirit of God. If you're going to excel in this world or in the world to come, you're going to do it by the Spirit of God. If you're going to have eternal life, friend, you're going to do it by the Spirit of God. If you're going to have health and happiness, you're going to do it by the Spirit of God. If you're going to have prosperity out there in the world, you're going to do it by the Spirit of God, or else you're going to be cut off in the midst of your days. You're going to lose your health, lose your happiness, all of that you could have, you're going to lose it. Now you say, "Well, Brother Pike, I see men that don't serve God that's got millions of dollars." I know that. Solomon said, "I've seen an evil under the sun," and one thing that I've seen is that God has given millions of dollars, or God has given much to some people and have not given them the power to eat thereof. They have ulcers of the stomach, and they have problems, and they can't eat, and they can't drink, and they can't do anything else. They can't enjoy nothing. They're just a miserable wreck. Though they've got everything, they don't have anything. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You love Jesus?
Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I believe that we ought to seek God with all of our heart. I believe that's what we ought to do. The Bible said, in the day that you seek the Lord with all of your heart, then I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. And the Bible also says that if we delight ourselves in the things of God and the laws of God, God will give us the desires of our heart. Isn't that right? I want the desire of my heart to be Jesus. I want God to be the desire of my heart. I want the will of God to be the desire of my heart. In the day that you seek me with all of your heart, then I shall be found of you, saith the Lord. And if you will seek me with all of your heart, he said, I will reward you. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. That's what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. I want to be a son of God. I want to obey God. I want to be a true prophet of God. I don't want to prophesy falsely. I know that we can get by for a time. We can say, yea, thus saith the Lord. The Lord said, yea, thus saith the Lord. But the Bible said, ye say, thus saith the Lord. Howbeit, the Lord hath not spoken. The Lord hath not spoken. See, I don't want to do that. I want to know about Jesus. And if there's anything to be said from God, I want it to be God. If I say something, I want it to be God. Some people, you know, they go around, they say, thus saith the Lord, just like gathering bananas in the bunches, you know. And everything they say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. But I say, my God, that couldn't be thus saith the Lord. But I ain't got nothing to say about it. That's their business. But I say, that couldn't be thus saith the Lord. It don't agree with the Holy Scriptures. That couldn't be thus saith the Lord. The Bible said, try the spirits. Prove everything, and then the Bible teaches when you prove something, stay with it. See, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. When you say, thus saith the Lord, you need to know that it really is, thus saith the Lord. Because that's the shortcut to the graveyard, is say, thus saith the Lord. Now, if you want to say something, just get up and say, thus it said. You know whether you said it, the Lord said it, or who said it. Just say, that's it. But brother, when you say, thus saith the Lord, you be sure you know what you're saying. Because to think that God Almighty, the God that made heaven and God who made earth, the great God of the heaven and earth, you're putting words in his mouth. And you're standing there saying, God who is responsible for all creation is saying, thus saith the Lord. God is saying, thus saith. Oh, you need to know what you're saying when you say things like that. See, somebody said, well, God understands. A lot of times God understands you're a baby playing with a rattler. Isn't that right? Somebody say, I love Jesus. But you can get to be a grown-up playing with a rattlesnake. It might be the wrong kind of rattler. See, you get too big. You get too big. You get out of proportion. And the first news you know, you're playing with the wrong kind of rattler. And then you're in trouble. But see, as long as you're a little baby, God will work with you. But folks, there's the time when we have to grow up. And when we're going to say, thus saith the Lord, let's be sure it is, thus saith the Lord. And when we're going to do something, we say, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. Be sure that God told you to do it. See, be sure that God told you to do it. Otherwise, just say, well, I think I'll go over here and I think I'll go over here and I think I'll do this. That's the best way to do it. And when you say something, say, well, that's how I feel about it. That's what I think about it. You love Jesus? Praise God. I believe it was Danny was going to say, thus saith the Lord one day. I believe it was Danny that had something. He was about to tell us how the Lord said it. And his mama gave him a good quick warning to, I ain't going to say the Lord said it. Just going to say I said it. Just say it like it is, you know. I believe it was Danny. Right quick, Danny learned the difference between thus saith Danny and thus saith the Lord. So see, what we need to do is be a mouthpiece for God. But let me tell you, folks, where we get in trouble is when we do not seek the Lord with all of our heart. Now, if my heart is completely surrendered to God, if my heart is clear with God, if my heart is holy and pure, and I know that there's no personal motives in my heart, and I know that I'm doing what God told me to do with all of my heart and life, no reservation of heart. And then I come into your presence and the great Holy Spirit comes on me and he begins to anoint me and I feel his unction. I feel his stirring. I feel the drive of God. And I open my mouth. I can say, thus saith the Lord, because it is God within his temple.
But oh, beloved friend, if it isn't God, it's bad. It is bad. When the minister gets up here, the Bible said it's not you that speaketh, but God that speaketh from within you. When he speaks, it is God that's speaking. It is something for God to speak. You know, God is always doing something. Brother Atlas said the other night, something was happening down the house. And he said, you know, he said, I'll have to be at Bethlehem. He said, because something is always happening at Bethlehem. All the time, he said, something's going on here at this place. And that's right, there's something happening all the time at Bethlehem. Something exciting is happening all the time. God is doing something great, something mighty, something outstanding. All the time, God's doing something. Now, and a lot of times I get to see it. I'm thankful that God will let me take a little peek at it. And a lot of times you get to see it, you know. And we fit it all together and it comes up in a beautiful thing and we can see what God's doing. And right now God's doing something wonderful. And I'm thankful that I've been able to get a little glimpse of it. But folks, let me exhort you tonight. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. You say, I can't find God. I don't have any vision. I can't prophesy. I don't speak in tongues. I don't have the Holy Ghost. Then seek God with all of your heart. Look for God with all of your heart. Start asking God to be with you with all of your heart. I say, Brother Pike, how can I ask God to be with me with all of my heart? By quit your gossiping. Quit your backbiting. Quit your fault finding. Quit your surmising. Quit your jealousy. That's the way to do it. Quit taking people apart in your conversations over in the shadows somewhere. Stop thinking the wrong thing. Get your mind off of the world. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. Get your mind on spiritual things. Meditate in his laws day and night. Cast down imagination. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And as David prayed, to the intent of the heart. See, then your heart gets right with God. Then something begins to take place in your life. All of a sudden you become the man of God. You become the woman of God. Why? Because God's Spirit is on the inside of you. And all day God's Spirit is making melody in your heart. All day it's like the little bees making honey in the cone. All day long God is communing with you. God is talking to you. You know, it's so wonderful to be a child of God. Now listen just for a minute. You know, you can't learn it. You can't study and get it. You can't do that. Now you can't do that. You might as well get out of that. Going to get it out of college. Going to get it out of seminary. Going to get it some other way. You'll never get it like that. See, you can't do that. Going to get it fasting. Going to get it praying. You'll never do that. See, because it comes by faith. And faith ain't going to work but one way. And that's from that heart of charity and love. There won't be any other way to get it. See, you can't get it any other way. Now, look at Stephen's. The Bible said that Stephen's began to speak when they started stoning him to death. What did he do? Why, he hadn't read that anywhere. Did you know that? He hadn't got that out of college. He hadn't studied that. He hadn't come up with that. All of a sudden, he began to speak. And the Bible said that they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. They couldn't withstand it with such great knowledge. They couldn't withstand it. See, as he began to speak, where did he get it? Did he read it? No, sir, in the self-same hour, it was God speaking. See, what we need is a tender heart. What we need is the Spirit of God. What we need is faith. And at the very moment, at the very hour, then God will speak. And then the Bible said it's not you speaking, but God. That's what we need. We don't need to learn a lot and get up and try to recite it to the people and quote it to the people. You can't do that. A lot of times we learn things that we might use illustrations. That's one thing to bring out spiritual meanings. But when we get to where we just want to, you know, pantomime something or just relate something, well, that's no good. See, Stephen couldn't do that. That self-same hour, Stephen's, the Bible said he looked up and saw the heavens open. He didn't read that in no book. Right there, the Spirit of God came upon him. That's what we need, is the Spirit of God in our midst. We need to be able to speak by the Spirit of God, speak by the inspiration of God. That's why that I don't have anything. When I come up here tonight, I didn't know I was going to speak from this. I hadn't read it. I come up here and open my Bible to it. That's what God gave me. When I come up here, I don't know where I'm going to read from. As a rule, I never know where I'm going to read from.
Because I trust God to give it to me. Why? Because it's not me speaking, but God. If it's God speaking, then God ought to be able to say what he wants to. If it's me speaking, I'd like to speak out what I'm going to speak on, wouldn't you? But if it's God speaking, let God pick out what he wants to speak on. So then it was Stephen's being used as a mouthpiece of God, but it was God doing the talking. That's what we need to do. If we could seek God with all of our heart and get to where we are trusting God, that the mind of Christ in us would speak and let us know what's going on and help those that are around us, then we'd be able to do something for Jesus. I wish we had more time tonight to say something to you. But I hope these few words will help that we said tonight. I hope it'll do something for you. I feel like it will if you lay it to heart. In the day that you seek me with your whole heart, then shall you find me, saith the Lord. And I tell you tonight that you're never going to find God in the way that you're going. There's many of you will never be used of God. You'll never find God because you're not seeking God with all of your heart. You've got too many other things involved in your life. Now, listen to this right quick and we're going to try to close. Some people's life consists of buying and selling. They just don't have any world and any happiness unless they can buy, sell, trade, do something all the time. That's the only life they got. That's happiness to them. Some people's life consists of buying land, getting gain, getting security, having security, putting a little money in the bank, having a little prestige. To them, that is life. That's some people's life. You love Jesus? Some people's life consists of being popular in the eyes of the people, having something to say, being before the public, being an entertainer. That's some people's lives. Some people's lives consist of fishing and hunting. Some consist of vacationing. Some consist of just gossiping. Their life just ain't life to them unless they can gossip. Backbite. Some just consist of corruption in general. You know, defiling and doing everything that's ungodly. Some people, that's all they know, is just to tear down homes and wreck homes with human relation and whatever through ungodly means. But you know, my life consists of one thing. Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. So then that's the way that I feel. You have to have whatever it takes in your life to satisfy you. I have to have whatever it takes in my life to satisfy me. And my life is Christ. To live is Christ. I don't want anything else but Christ. To live is Christ. If I live, I want to be like Jesus. I want to do like Jesus. I'm interested in the things of Jesus. And as Paul said, carry it with the things of God. That's my life. That's my way. That's what makes me happy. If the other things make you happy, then you can have them. If Christ makes me happy, let me have him. All right. That's what makes me happy is Christ. I am happy when I think about him. I am happy when I meditate in his laws day and night. I'm happy when we communicate together. I'm happy when I pray to God at night. I'm happy when I praise him in the daytime. I'm happy when I think about him in my heart. I'm happy with Jesus. To live is Christ. All right. So then whatever it takes to please you, that's your life. But I'll tell you something, folks. It's wonderful to be a friend of God and to have God to be your friend. It's wonderful. I want you to stand with me. I hope in our talks from time to time that you grow in the Lord Jesus. And that somehow or another that I say something that might help you, that might be of interest to you, that might really help you. I hope and pray to God that I do, because that's my desire. The only way to be happy is to get everything out of your heart but Jesus. The Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. If there's one little thing in your heart toward your fellow man, one little thing toward your neighbor, you don't have a pure heart. One little thing, the Bible said, if there's anything that you won't forgive your neighbor of, then your heavenly Father won't forgive you. So when you stand praying, he said, forgive. Over in that one place where he says you can have whatever you ask in my name, he tells them beforehand. But when you stand to pray, forgive. If you have aught against anybody, forgive it. For if you don't forgive men from your heart, your heavenly Father can't get into your heart. Therefore, he cannot forgive your sins. See, because any little thing in the heart will destroy life, any little germ. And pure life can't live down there. So then he purifies our heart by faith. And faith means to believe in his word and to act on his word as proof of the faith. So the word says forgive from your heart. When you do that, faith in God's word has taken place. And the Holy Spirit comes into that faith and purifies your heart. Then you're sanctified by the faith which is in Christ. And the great Spirit of God takes up its abode in your temple. And you become the man or the woman of God. You know, and no matter where you go, every day of the week, 24 hours around the clock, you are the man of God. You are the woman of God. Now, they might not think you are. You might not look like what they think you ought to look like. You might not favor Elijah, and you might not look like Abraham. But you're just as much the man of God as Elijah and Abraham was. Even more so because you are the body of the Almighty God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. The mighty God of heaven is dwelling within you. You are the man of God. You are the woman of God. According to your measure, whatever you yield, whatever you do, ever what you do in your heart to yield to God, you are the man or woman of God, and God's in your heart. And all the time he'll be speaking to you. If you yield 30-fold, he'll replenish 30-fold. If you'll purge out 60-fold, he'll fill up 60-fold. If you'll give over to 100-fold, he'll come in 100-fold. And if you'll just surrender your all, God will just give you his all. He'll just come right in, be talking to you, and it won't be your thoughts, it'll be his thoughts. And the things you do, you know, you'll say, well, my lands, I didn't know that was God. I thought I was just thinking that, and I was just going to do that because I thought that. And all of a sudden, you'll find out it was God thinking that, and it wasn't you thinking that at all. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He said, my dear God, everything I go to do, everything, you're always with me. You know, I walked across the lawn this afternoon, late over in the evening. And I had on my boots that Ron or some of them had given me, Jimmy. Some of them had given them to me. I had on my boots and started across the lawn, and they were a little tarnished. You know, I thought, now, man, I'd love to have these boots all cleaned up to go up yonder because everything's muddy, and I don't have any shoes polished up. And I hate Betty, sometimes she just don't have time to do it, and I don't have time to get around to it. And Betty will do it when she can, and I do it when I can. But I thought, might be so nice to have them. And I hadn't even got to the house. Something happened in a little while, and here comes somebody. And they said, I wonder if I could take those boots and clean them up for you. Brother McLaney caught me. He said, I just wonder if you'd let me take those boots and clean those boots up for you. And he brought them back tonight all shiny and pretty. And they're just as pretty as they can be. I thought, my Lord. My, you don't even let me think nothing without doing it. Just giving me every little thing that I think, every little thing I desire, the desires of my heart. So many times just be sitting there like today, you know, just sit there. You want to think, well, I'd love to have something to, you know, to drink. It's a little warm. And here Kim opened the door and said, here's something for you to drink. Just all the time, every little thought, you know. God is so good, you just can't imagine how good he is and how much he loves you, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Every little thing, you say, oh, Brother Pike, that can't be. That's just a coincidence. But see, it happens all the time. Can everything that happens be coincidental? I mean, it happens with a regularity 365 days a year. Is that coincidental? Is that coincidental? How many of you have any kind of coincidence? All right, if you're having coincidence 365 days a year, then we'll call it coincidence. But if you're not having them, then it must be God. It must be God. I thank God for it because every little thing that I desire, he gives it to me. I was thinking this morning, I thought, well, Lord, I can't think of anything that I want but what you've given me. Everything that my heart could wish for, you've been good to me, Jesus, and you give it to me. Not because I deserve it, not because I have done anything, because I haven't. I haven't merited anything. You know, one thing that I say over and over, as I was saying to somebody today, you know, we say the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto George Pike. But the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Jesus Christ is the revelation of Jesus Christ because God gave it unto Jesus Christ. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which means God revealed in Christ. Christ making known the Holy Spirit to the people. Jesus, the revealer. But Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Jesus to show unto Brother Pike. Now that it's my revelation because Jesus gave it unto me. See, but it is his revelation and it is mine because he gave it unto me. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you don't. But anyway, it makes sense to me. Now then, so then I have the revelation of Jesus Christ, as Paul said, because God gave it to me through his son, Jesus Christ. But see, it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how I got it? Because I belong to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today it is not I that live, but Christ Jesus. Therefore, being his revelation today, it is Christ. To live is Christ. The members of the body, the revelation belongs to them. If you haven't received the spirit of revelation, then you're living beneath your privilege, or you need to get joined to the body that you might enjoy that which is yours, the inheritance of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, it's so wonderful to know that he worked and earned it. And now it is mine because I have entered into his rest and ceased from my own works, having claimed his own works for mine. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I say, Brother Pike, you don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. But there's one thing about it, I'm happy thinking I've got it. So just leave me alone. As long as I think I've got it, and I'm convinced I have, that I'm just as happy as I can be. So as long as I'm happy, that's all that matters. Well, you say, I don't think I got it. Well, you're probably not happy. If I can get you to believe that you got it, then you'll be happy. And after all, the way you get it is when you believe. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every day. I need thee. I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. You know, I was telling Brother Atlee and Kim today, I said, I thank you for working on the motorhome and doing the things you do, but and I was telling him, I said, you know, I don't know what to say. Because can you say thank you? I mean, is that the word for it? Can, you know, a man give his life to the service, to help you and to stand by you? Whereas I know it says unto the Lord, you do all things as unto the Lord. You do it to the least of them, you do it to Christ. There's a reward coming that'll be sufficient one day. But nevertheless, looking at it from the natural, you know, I said, Kim Atlee, I don't know what to say. How can I say thank you? Just saying thank you, is that enough? You say thank you and people give their life to you. And you need to say thank you. Why, you can't do that. That you can't do that. I mean, what can you do? What can you do? What can you say? There's no words. You know, you're just so grateful and it's such a great thing. So there's no words, you know. You just can't say anything. You just kind of choke up on the inside. You can't say anything. How can you? You think that's that man's life. That's that woman's life. How are you going to say thank you? You know, hear hours of labor and you come by and that's all you do. Say, thank you. No, there's more to it than that, you know. Oh, how grateful I am from the bottom of my soul for people that love Jesus. How grateful. No words of expression for them that offer service to God. There is no reward, no reward that's sufficient for the purpose except Christ. All I can say is God bless you, and he will bless you. He will bless you. God bless you for your service. Everyone that's give, everyone that's sacrificed, everyone that's made a special effort, everyone that's done anything. Many of them, a lot of times the ladies will bake a cake, make a pudding, or do something special for me and Betty, and they'll bring it up there, and they work hard. Maybe they sew a dress or some curtains or something beautiful, a shirt or whatever, and they go out of their way to bring it to us. Or maybe they buy something, you know, some little something, and they buy it and they bring it to us. It just thrills my heart so much. It's like, not that I love gifts, but I love the giver. It's like I see Christ in that. Whereas the Bible said, look on the things of another, you know. Esteem others better than yourself. Like today when Johnny's wife, she gave us a little old world, a beautiful little old thing. She'd save stamps for about 2 years, had 14 books, took her 2 long years to save them stamps. And I thought about today. Betty said, no, said I don't want them. Said, you keep them because it's taking 2 years for you to save them. Said, you get you something pretty. No, she said, I won't have it that way. Johnny said, whatever she says, that's what we'll do. And I took the little old catalog and I looked through it. I felt impressed of God to thumb through it. And I thumbed through it. As I looked through it, I saw a little world sitting there. And I always wanted a little world on, you know, a little ball like one of these little stands. And I never have bought one, or nobody never give me one. So I thought, now this is nice. It's not just 5.5 books. And I thought, well, now, if she'll, you know, she'll get this for me, then she'll have about 8.5 books left. And that'll pacify her, and then she can use the other books for herself. Well, she wouldn't have it that way. She got me the little world, but she went and took the others and got something else for Sister Betty. She said, now Brother Pike's got him something. Now you get something, Sister Betty. So as I thumbed through it and I saw the little world, the Lord spoke to me. And I heard him say something about her vision. Remember the vision that she had? And I remember that she had a vision, something about the Lord had given me the world or whatever. You know, and I thought, well, now this is something. Right here when I'm fixing to take a trip around the world and preparing for it and getting the information and fixing to go up here up to Marysville, and it had to do with it going back to the outer courts and out to the world. I thought, now here she comes over here and she's wanting to get us something, and here's this little world before me. And I thought, well, now surely God must be in this thing. So I looked and there it was, that little world. And I said to Betty, I said, now this, I wouldn't mind having this. And Betty said, well, I noticed that too. So in just an hour or so, here comes the sister. She come back with it and it's sitting down there now. And I thought, you know, you just can't get around God. People who love Jesus, God's always working in their heart, and you don't know what it's all about, but if you're listening on heaven, all of a sudden you'll hear him say, well, son, the reason I'm doing this is because. And I'll say, oh my God, I never thought of that. I never thought of that. Isn't it wonderful? See, we don't never think of that, but he always thinks about it. And the beauty of it is that all of his thoughts and all of his plans, they just fit so perfectly in doing everything for us, making us happy. He said, I know my thoughts toward you. They're not bad, but they're good. I don't have bad thoughts toward you. He said, peace on earth, the angel said. Goodwill toward man. My thoughts are good toward you, because Jesus died to take away your sins, and the atonement of the blood is on the mercy seat. My thoughts are good toward you. Therefore, being justified by peace or by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, giving us the whole world, placing it within our hands. Oh, I like that. I like that. The Bible said, ask of me the heathens, and I will give them unto thee for an inheritance. I said, Lord, give me the heathens. Have you ever prayed and asked God to give you the heathens? I prayed many times. I said, Lord, give me the Negro, the Japanese, the Chinese, the German. Give me the Caucasian. Give me all of them, God. Give me the heathens. Give me the heathens for mine inheritance, Lord. Give them to me. Lord, give them to me. Oh, I've asked you many times, and he's doing it. Letter from over in Peru wanting our literature. Letter from over in Brazil wanting our literature. Letter from over in Colombia wanting our literature. Bolivia wanting our literature. Isn't that wonderful? Africa, India. All around the world. Lord, give me the inheritance of the heathens. There'll be stars in your crown. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls someday shall shine forth as the noonday sun. Don't you love Jesus? Have you won a soul? Have you tried to win a soul? Have you done anything to aid anybody in winning a soul? If you've not, you sure have missed the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. You might lay up a dollar in the bank. You might get a nice little car. You might be able to feed your tummies the good things of life. But I want to tell you something. All that'll perish. All of that. But every soul that you win to God will be an eternal jewel that will forever shine forth in the radiance of the glory of God in your crown of life. Treasures in heaven to never be lost.